Amen. So thankful for that good prayer this morning. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. And I told somebody earlier today that my sole goal this morning, and I hope it's every morning, but especially this morning, is to brag on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for a little bit this morning. This month has been a challenging month for a number of people as we've navigated the fallout from the storms that we've had, and we have those that around us that have suffered the loss of loved ones. We have grieved the loss of ones that we care about, and it just seems like this whole month, first of all, went by extremely quickly, but there was just a lot of challenges and a lot of lives of the folks that we love and care for here in this place. And there seems to be this increasing anxiety in our nation, in our country, and it always follows along the times of elections, the uncertainty with that, and especially the last decade or so, that just seems to be a fever pitch where people get more and more worked up about those things. And yes, we should be concerned about the civic affairs of our country and of our world, but I want us to understand, overshadowing all of that is a glorious truth that we serve a risen Savior. And the subject that I want to speak on as I try to brag on Jesus this morning is we serve the Savior who is just the same today as he was 2,000 years ago, as he was in the beginning of time when the heavens and the earth were spoken into existence. From eternity past, he's just the same today. So I want us to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. This is the one verse that I want us to look at this morning, and I believe it's the linchpin verse of all of the book of Hebrews. If you were to ask me to boil down the book of Hebrews and give one statement that speaks about the book of Hebrews, it would be Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. And it's an easy verse to remember, and it's one that we should commit to memory so that when the bad times come, we remember who is truly in charge and where our heart should be. It's this: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, if you put that in your Grammarly on your computer or whatever, that's not good grammar, but that is great theology this morning, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the Apostle Paul, he writes the book of Hebrews, and these are some of the closing words of the book of Hebrews. And as we end this chapter in this book, it's chock full of practical teaching for us as God's people. The first seven verses preceding verse 8, you've got these practical teachings, you've got these reminders, and then following this, you've got practical exhortation for us as the Lord's people. And just smack dab in the middle of that, and when you're reading it and reading the context, if you're like me, you're wondering, well, why on earth is this here? It's for this reminder that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love that. That's not an exhortation, but that's a declaration of truth for us as God's people this morning. You woke up this morning in a bad mood. You woke up this morning weighed down with the burdens of life. You woke up thinking about the problems that are going to be awaiting you at work tomorrow. Jesus Christ, he's the same every day. That's the key to the entirety of this chapter. That's a key to the entirety of the book of Hebrews. And I love it because it doesn't need a lot of explanation. It's very clear in this verse what it's talking about. And I love the verses before or after it. And you know, you try to seek the context of this. And I think it's just put in there as this reminder as we're overwhelmed with the cares of this world and the responsibilities that we have. I think ultimately it's just put in there by the inspiration of God as a reminder. But you can look at the neighboring verses and get some great encouragement. Paul would say in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13, he would say, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." So in this practical exhortation, he's talking about the, you know, this duty, this responsibility to, I believe, spiritual leaders, ministers of the gospel, those that preach the word of God. He says, "Remember them which have rule over you." And the latter part of that verse tells me that some of the ministers there that Paul was referring to in the context of that time had either moved somewhere else, they had either moved away, or they had moved up, had left this world and gone into heaven. So either way, they had either moved on or they had moved away. But then right after that, he gives that reminder, Jesus Christ, he's just the same. And that ought to encourage us as God's people in the church. We've experienced it in this church. Pastors and ministers, the Lord will move them elsewhere. And at some point, all of us are either going to move on or move up, and there will be others that are left behind. The good news is Jesus Christ is just the same today, whatever happens in that capacity. That's the good news. Whatever happens in November, Jesus Christ is just the same today. I remember reading one time, John Wesley, he's buried in Westminster Abbey in London, and on his gravestone it says this. It says, God buries his workmen, but he continues his work. I like that. I think I want that on my headstone. Kids, remember that one day when I move on. But isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? We're going to die one day. We're going to leave this world. If the Lord doesn't come back soon, we're going to have more funerals in this place. But the work of God continues on because he's just the same today as he was in the past, and in the future he will be as well. So, you know, we're going to be celebrating the ministry of Brother David and recognizing Brother David and Sister Sherry in a few weeks here. And while we grieve their moving on, and as they move on, as the Lord has led them, we don't sorrow and grieve to the point where we question, well, is the work of the Lord going to continue in this place? It's going to continue because he's just the same. Then in verse 9 it says this, it says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. One of the things that the Apostle Paul was confronting in the book of Hebrews was false teaching. There were false teachers that were trying to lead God's people away from the doctrine of Jesus Christ and back into the practices of the Old Testament. That's one of the big themes of the book of Hebrews. Apparently, there were those that were discouraged in their walk with the Lord. That happens. We are discouraged in our faith journey here in this world because we live in an earth that's been corrupted by sin. We've all been corrupted. Relationships are corrupted. Our physical health, it's a difficult journey in this world. And there's also the reality that there's always going to be false teachers trying to lead God's people astray. But again, we go back to verse 8 that reminds us that though there may be false teachers that would try to confuse us, we can hang our hat on the truth of Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday and today and forever. This is a charge to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to continue to earnestly contend for the faith that's in Jesus Christ. And how do we resist false teachers? We always go back to Jesus Christ. You know, here's the thing. In this world, there are those that are messengers that purport to be preaching the truth. They can be inconsistent. They can lead people astray. False teaching happens every day in this world. Sometimes people are confused themselves and they're blind. The blind leading the blind is what Jesus would say. But then there's some folks that are intentionally trying to deceive and take advantage of God's little sheep and God's little lambs. Messengers may be inconsistent, but the one messenger of verse 8, he is always the same. One commentator has said he is gloriously monotonous. Jesus Christ has not changed at all throughout eternity. And that's encouragement. We don't need a new truth as God's people as long as we have the same Christ. And we believe in the Christ of this Bible who's just the same today. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? This verse stands out. If you're grieving the changes that inevitably come with time, Jesus Christ is just the same today. If you're battling untruth, if you're trying to figure out which way to go in life, what direction to go in, how you should walk, Jesus Christ, you can always count on Jesus Christ. That's good news, isn't it? You can count on Jesus. You know, I try to be a dependable person, but I'm limited in this flesh. I'm limited by the frailty of my mind. You may ask me to do something, and it might slip my mind. Or I might make a mistake in trying to do whatever you've asked me to do. Or I might just get tired and get sick and not able to be able to fulfill what you've asked me to do. But that's not the case with Jesus Christ. No matter the circumstances, He is always faithful. That's a blessing to think about, isn't it? You know, how are things going in your life right now? Are they going great? Are you having difficulties? How are the circumstances of your life? Whatever they are, Jesus Christ is just the same. Who's fighting against you this morning? Well, you may have enemies that are opposing you on every front. Jesus Christ is just the same. Where do you find yourself in your walk with the Lord this morning? We're all in different areas, different places in our journey. Jesus Christ is just the same. And that's glorious to think about this morning, isn't it? So I want us to just look at just a few things from this passage that on the surface is very simple but very profound for us as God's people. And I want us to look, with the time that we have, perhaps three things here in this passage that we can take hope in as God's people. First of all, the name of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, he starts out verse 8 by speaking the name Jesus Christ. Says He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, Jesus Christ, the whole name Jesus Christ is used three times in the book of Hebrews. It's used here, but then it's used two other places. And the third one that I want to look at is the one that comes from Hebrews chapter 13 as well. But when that name Jesus Christ is used, there's usually some wonderful context and encouragement for us as God's people. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 is the first place in the book of Hebrews where that full name is used. Paul would say this in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 10. He says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now he's talking about Jesus Christ as our Savior in Hebrews chapter 10. And that's a glorious truth to think about. This is talking about him saving us from our sins. And it's talking about the aspect of sanctification through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. This speaks of Jesus Christ as our Savior. We think about the name of Jesus, we need to remember He is our Savior. It wasn't the preacher that saved you. It wasn't grandma or grandpa. It wasn't you yourself that saved you. It was Jesus Christ. When we speak the name of Jesus, it's synonymous with Savior. Then in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, I believe, Paul would say, speaking about Jesus, he says, "Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you," he says, "that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The name of Jesus, not only is it synonymous with Savior, but it's synonymous with strength as well. In verse 21, do you not see strength in there that through Jesus it says He makes you perfect in every good work? That doesn't mean that you know, when we think about perfection, that we are without sin. And it's not talking about our abilities, but it's talking about Christ in us and the completeness that we have in Jesus Christ to do good works, to do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. How is that? Through Jesus Christ. If I am able to preach the gospel this morning, it's because the blessing of Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. If you're able to make it through the difficulties of life, it's through Jesus Christ. It's through His work. So the name of Jesus is Savior, it's strength. And what we read in verse 8, what we've already looked at a number of times, He is also our sustainer. He's the one that's just the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? I'm thankful that's our identity as a child of God. Our identity is in Jesus Christ the Savior, Jesus Christ our strength, and Jesus Christ our sustainer. Isn't that wonderful? Our Savior, our strength, and our sustainer. In the name of Jesus, we have those wonderful blessings. You know, people like to identify with a lot of things in this world, different clubs, different activities, different organizations, but the greatest identification we have as God's children is that we are in Christ Jesus. What a name it is in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 as the angel came and spoke prior to Jesus' birth, Jesus being born of the Virgin Mary. The angel says that, speaking of Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It wasn't just a random choice that he was named Jesus. Now, there had been people in the past and even people today that have chosen the name of Jesus. And past times, people named their kids Jesus, which in the Hebrew is Joshua, because that word, that name literally means Jehovah is salvation. But what happened in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 is that the Messiah was born of the Virgin Mary, and the angel said, you're going to name him Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. How are we saved? Through Jesus Christ. Oh, the apostle, and in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostle Peter, when the Spirit of God comes down, he says this. He says, neither is there any salvation in any other. He says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is how we're saved. You know, you're not saved in the name of Brother Michael. You're not saved in the name of Brother David or Brother Roger or anybody else. It's in Jesus Christ that we're saved. What a wonderful blessing, that name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he would speak this concerning Jesus Christ. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man. He says, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He gave himself for his people, Jesus Christ. It was the man, Christ Jesus, who died for us. There is a wonderful blessing in the name of Jesus Christ, is there not? Jesus Christ, just the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's Jesus. Jesus is his name. He saved his people from their sins. He shall save his people from his sins. He did on Calvary's cross. Now the other part of his name, Christ. You know, that's just not his signature line. He didn't address just letters Jesus Christ, and Christ was just merely his last name. That spoke about his word, his work as well. Christ literally meant Messiah or anointed one. So you have Jesus, the name Jesus, as Redeemer, as Savior, and Christ literally means Messiah. Jesus Christ himself is the long-awaited Messiah King that was to come and die for his people. He was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Jesus Christ, that name means that he is our Redeemer, he is our promised Messiah, he is our all in all. I was thinking about this morning. You know, in the Old Testament times, there was the major offices in the Old Testament in the Jewish service was the prophet, the priest, and the king. And those were three distinct offices. When you read in the Old Testament the history of Israel, as we followed along in our study of the life of David, there were prophets, there was priests, and there was kings. You know, there was one king, and there was a high priest, and then there was usually a prophet that was sort of the right-hand man when everything was going right to the king and assisted in those other roles. And where was that time? Saul decided to get out of his lane and do the work of the priest, and it caused a lot of trouble, just putting it lightly. But when Jesus Christ came in the world, Jesus Christ, he fulfilled all of those roles. He was prophet, priest, and king. And my friends, we don't need a prophet, a priest, or a king today, because he is the all-sufficient one who died for us. I'm thankful he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we have kings and rulers in our land, in our world today, and we need those that keep order in our world. But I'm thankful that, you know, whoever becomes president in November, whoever is put into positions of authority in other parts of the world, that they aren't the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They change their positions. I don't care who it is. You don't have to do very much research to see that those that are in worldly offices of government, they've changed their minds on just about everything when you start digging in. But Jesus Christ, he's just the same yesterday and today and forever. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I love that song that we sing. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. Sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? The name of Jesus. We see his name. And then you also see this claim here. He's the same. You know, we live in a constantly changing world, do we not? Nothing ever stays the same. I have reached the age now, I think I have reached technology saturation. I'm afraid I reached it probably about 10 years ago. I don't like change. My phone changes up and I'm lost. If anybody knows on the new iPhone update how to get caps lock on there, come see me. I hadn't figured it out, and I've got so mad I hadn't even tried to figure it out. So if you get a text from me and it's not punctuated correctly, it's because they've changed it up and I can't figure it out. Things are changing. Our world changes. There's things that change for the better. I'm thankful for things that change for the better. People talk about, well, I want to go back to the values of the 1940s and 1950s. There were things that went on during that time that we don't want to go back to. Things are changing, but they change for better or for worse. Sometimes things change for better. Sometimes things change for worse. Things are always changing. People are always changing for better or for worse. You know, there's people in my life that I used to be once used to be dear friends with, but either they've changed or I've changed and we've drifted away. Some people they change every time you see them. You know, sometimes you don't want to say how you're doing, but who are you today? People change, but Jesus Christ never changes. In all the change in the world, we ask ourselves the question, is there anything that we can count on in this world? We can count on Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Bad grammar, but great theology. And this isn't just some creed, but this for us as God's people, it should really be a battle cry. I hope this morning is just not an intellectual pursuit for you where you commit this verse to memory, but it doesn't apply to your lives. I hope it applies to your life in the midst of difficulties and encourages you to move forward no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what happens around us. He's the same. We also see that's the claim. He's just the same today. But there's also this biblical concept, and I'll give you this theological term that I've mentioned before. There's the concept of immutability in this passage of Scripture. The word immutable means it never changes. People change. We change. Society changes. Culture changes. Values change in the world that we live in. Jesus Christ never changes. He's immutable. He's also sufficient as well. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Remember, the book of Hebrews was written, it was inspired by God, written to the early church, those that were predominantly Jewish converts. It was written to folks that were at risk of abandoning the faith. You know, that's a constant concern today as pastor of this church, is folks that quit coming to church for whatever reason. Sometimes people get busy, life happens, sometimes people get sick, but if we're being real, in this flesh, there's this constant challenge where Satan is trying to put stumbling blocks before the Lord's people, and there has never been a time in my ministry where I've been settled and comfortable that, hey, everything's like it ought to be, and everybody's comfortable in their faith. It's a reality of life. There's always these challenges to our faith. And the book of Hebrews was written to folks that were at risk of abandoning the faith, abandoning the truth, and going back to Judaism in this case. And the book of Hebrews is really, really like a sermon written to God's people to remind them of Jesus Christ and the better things that are in Christ Jesus. You'll see that, I think, it's some 13 times, maybe more, that in the book of Hebrews early on, it speaks about Christ being the bringer of better things. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ and his sufficiency, that he is far better than anything that you've enjoyed in the past. You know, those that struggle with addictions, and addiction is a real thing. It's a battle in the lives of many people, that whatever Satan is tempting you to go back to, Jesus Christ is better. whatever Satan is using to appeal to your flesh in the future. Well, if I can just get X, Y, Z, if I can just get to this station in life, if I can just get these ducks in a row in my life, things will be better. No, Jesus Christ is the better thing in your life, because he is the one that's just the same today. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. You know, when you study God's word and you look at different characters of the Bible, we've been looking at David, there's oftentimes characters in the Bible that have a hallmark characteristic about them, for better or for worse. You think about Abraham. You think about Abraham and Abraham being the man of faith. You think about Thomas, doubting Thomas. You think about all of those things, and there are men and women in the Bible that you can identify with just one characteristic. But I'm thankful that in Jesus Christ, you can find everything. You know, you can find everything. In this world, I think our human nature is, we want to find that magic pill. If I can just find X, then my life will be complete. If I can just get to this point in my life, if I can have this much money in my bank account, if I can get my appearance to look like somebody that's on the magazines or that are on Instagram, everything will be right. No, my friends, in Jesus Christ, we have all that we need. That a wonderful blessing. I thought about this past week in Lamentations. I quoted this verse not too long ago. Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, verse 22 and 23, it says this. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." He says, "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I had the thought this week, that's speaking about Jesus Christ, isn't it? He has it all. It says here, it's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's not because I've obtained an economic level in my life, or I've just gotten the right job, or I've gotten the status that I think I should have, or I've gotten the following that I think I should have in this world. It's because of the Lord's mercies. He is just the same today. Isn't that a blessing? If you're here this morning, you say, well, I don't have a lot of money in the bank. I'm not going to be winning any beauty contests. And if I go through a crowd of people, nobody's really going to recognize me. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, if God woke you up this morning, he has a purpose for you being here. If you woke up this morning and your little eyes opened up this morning, you have a purpose for being here. It's because of the mercies of God. And before your feet even hit the floor, he has provided what you need today. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. He is everything. When he says he is the same yesterday and today and forever, that means he's everything. That means that he has provided for us. You know, yesterday he helped me along the way. You know, you made it through yesterday, no matter how rough it was. Praise the Lord, he helped you yesterday. And he can do the same today. And how long will he continue to do this? Well, forever, is what the Word of God teaches us. Yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? We speak about his divinity when we speak about his immutability. I'm thankful that's the God that we serve. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it would say this. Concerning the Lord, it says, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." What was that? What was happening here in the book of Malachi? We have the Lord saying, "I am the same yesterday and today and forever." New Testament parallel to this in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul would write, he says, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Much of the religious world will say, your eternity is contingent upon your belief. You know, maybe it's a little bit of belief, but you have to have a little bit of belief. Some will say, well, you have to have a lot of belief. Well, Paul says to Timothy here, he says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He's just the same. And then in the book of James, in James chapter 1, these aren't unfamiliar passages to us. James chapter 1 and verse 17, James will say, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down, he says, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And when we read these passages and what James says here, if we're saying that Jesus is immutable, we're ultimately saying that Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh. He's the fullness of deity and humanity. I always love in John chapter 8, as Jesus is confronting those Pharisees and those legalists of the day, they didn't like how Jesus talked when he was referring to Abraham. You know, why are you talking this way? You're just a carpenter. You're just a lower class individual. You're just a Johnny come lately. Then Jesus said in John chapter 8, I believe verse 58, he says this. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." He was there. He was there. In creation, we can read it in the book of Genesis. "Let us make man in our image." Who was there? Jesus was there. Before this world was spoken into existence, who was there? Jesus Christ. In the Trinity, we believe that Jesus Christ is God. He's been here eternity past, all the way from, yeah, it's kind of oxymoronic to say eternity future, but he's going to be there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nobody like Jesus, is there? And that's a blessing. And just to put it in practical terms, oftentimes, We have no problem believing the promises of Jesus from yesterday, do we? Has there been anything that I've read from the Old Testament that anybody would doubt or refute? Nobody has audibly done it this morning. Maybe you do have questions. I don't know. But most of us have no problem here in this church understanding creation, do we? That Jesus spoke the world into existence. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We have no doubts about that. We believe by faith the prophecies of the Old Testament that speak of the coming Messiah. We have no problems believing that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, came into this world, laid down his life for the sins of his people. We have no big doubts about that. We have no doubts about the book of Acts and the miracles that were done there and the truths that we see in those times. And I have no doubts about that. Do we generally have doubts about the future? Folks may have divergent ideas about when the Lord returns, but I think most of us as Christians believe the Lord's coming back, and he's going to take his people home, so we have no doubts in the forever, really. If we're confident in the past, if we're confident in the forever, I'm just going to be honest with you, the here and now is difficult for me, and living it out in my practical life. And that's why I think this message is important for us this morning. But the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who created Adam from the dust of the earth and Eve from the rib of Adam and put them in the garden, is the one that's with us today. We worry about the affairs of this world. Well, we believe in the one who created this world. We worry about the impact of decisions that other people make and the uncertainty that we live in. We worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. The one who in this word tells us he's coming back again and calling us home, he's got it under control. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Finally, third, I want us to see the unwavering faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Hebrews, the word "better" is used some 13 times. Satan and false teachers were in there trying to turn them back to the Old Testament way of worship. And every time Jesus would counter or Paul would counter that Jesus Christ is the better thing. He's greater than the tabernacle. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than any of the sacrifices that were made in that Old Testament time. It's summarized in the verse that we're looking at in chapter 13 and verse 8. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, thinking about that verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13, there was this remembrance here. Those that were no longer with them, those that had moved on or moved up, he says, remember, Jesus Christ is the same. Don't worry, he's the same as we lose those that we love here in this world. Jesus Christ is just the same. He's going to continue to be with us today and tomorrow and the next day until he returns. And you know what? He's still going to be with us, and we'll be in heaven in his presence forevermore. I love, you go back to the Old Testament, I'm in Micah chapter 5. It speaks about the power of the Lord and the longevity of the Lord. Micah chapter 5 in verse 2, this is one of those verses that oftentimes comes up during the Christmas time season, but again, applicable for every day of our lives. It says this in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. He says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." That's speaking about where Jesus was going to be born. In the Old Testament, it was prophesied where Jesus was going to be born. Micah here in this word says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. The littlest amongst the thousands of Judah was where he's going to be born. But I like the second part of this, considering Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. It says this, "Speaking of the one that was to be born, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." That literally means ancient of days. The one that was going to be born in Bethlehem, born of the Virgin Mary, is the one that the Bible calls the Ancient of Days. He's as old as his daddy, and he's a lot older than his mama, is what you're going to see. He's going to be born of the Virgin Mary. Miracle of miracles, the Ancient of Days was born in Bethlehem. It's incredible to think about. In John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ is what's being spoken of here. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So that tells me whatever I'm going through, whatever you're going through, he's seen it all. He's experienced it. He's acquainted with what we're going through. And that's encouragement in real time right now, isn't it? Right now, you're going through sickness. You're going through trouble. You're going through financial difficulties. Maybe you're looking for a job. The Ancient of Days knows what you're going through and knows what you stand in need of. A lot of times people talk about the historical Christ. My friends, the historical Christ that we read in the Bible today is the contemporary Christ of today, who is with us and has promised to never leave us or forsake us. Oh, we may doubt tomorrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. We may believe in the truths of the past in God's Word, and we may believe in the future things that are going to happen, but how about today? We believe that this is the good news, that he's just the same today. My friends, have we not seen him do so much in our past? Why would we doubt today? It doesn't take much just self-assessment and self-evaluation. For me anyway, maybe I make a lot more foolish choices than you do. It doesn't take very long for me to get into a quiet place and just think about yesterday and last week where I should have been in a bad circumstance, but by the grace of God, I was seen through the trials. Now, we've seen him do too much yesterday to really be worrying about today, don't we? He can make a way out of no way, can he? That's a blessing to think about. The Word of God, one commentator has said that, you know, the Word of God is not just really not a history book for us, but it's really a resume of what God's doing for us now. It's a blessing to think about. Martha believed that in John chapter 11. Remember, Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus had died. And it's an interesting setting when you think about it, when you study and you see where Jesus was located versus where Lazarus lived. And he wasn't that far away, really, but he tarried. He tarried, and word came to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick, and he wasn't that far away, but Lazarus died. And Jesus tarried around to the point where not only had Lazarus died, but he started stinking. That's what the Bible said. So we have this scene in John chapter 11. It speaks to that truth that we need to embrace today as we fight the battles that confront us today and in our week to come. Martha understood that Jesus Christ was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because in verse 21 of John chapter 11, it says this, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been with me, my brother would not have died." That's the truth. Yeah, Jesus, he healed people. In his ministry, he healed a number of people and blessed and took away illnesses and afflictions that people, and in many cases, people had sought solutions for years without success. So she spoke the truth. If you'd have been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. But, verse 22, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. We need that even now faith in our lives. Lord, I've messed things up, and I don't know what the solution to this problem is. Lord, this news that I've gotten from the doctor, I don't know what to make of it, and I don't know how I've got here. Lord, my life is turned upside down. The relationships in my life, it's a nightmare right now. But even now, Lord, we know that you're able to bless. That's grown up. Martha had grown up faith there. Lord, you know, she could have been mad. She may have been a little bit mad. I don't know. Martha was a spitfire when you read about her other places, so maybe she was shaking her finger at him. I don't know for sure, but she had enough faith to know that he was able to bless even now. He had been in the tomb. He had been buried. Rigor mortis had set in. Decay had started. She knew that Jesus was able to bless, and he did on that occasion. What did he do? He just spoke a few words. Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus rose from the dead. What a blessing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, it's just not tomorrow that we can trust in the Lord, but we can count on him for whatever the future holds for us. And a blessing to think about. The same God that blessed my grandparents and my parents, blessed them through their lives, he's blessing me right now. And he's able to bless my children and my grandchildren and provide for them. I tell you, that gives me a lot of encouragement in this broken world that we live in. He is able to bless us. I think about the wonderful truth of eternal security, that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe in eternal security because that's what we believe about Jesus Christ. He is unchangeable. Some people believe you can be saved today and lose it tomorrow. That's not a very comforting doctrine as far as the future, is it? You know, I may leave this world on a bad day. Who knows? You never know what tomorrow holds, but we know that Jesus Christ is the same. Now, I'm thankful the Word of God teaches us that that it's not us holding on to Jesus that saves us eternally, but him holding on to us. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul would say this, wherefore, speaking of Jesus, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth, ever liveth, to make intercession for them. Our eternal life is secure because Jesus Christ is always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. When we close our eyes in death in this world as God's children, we're going to awake in his presence. I believe we're going to immediately awake in the presence of the Lord. Paul would say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's because Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not contingent upon my behavior. It's not contingent upon me finishing the job or doing anything at all to secure my salvation. It's all of Jesus. That's an encouragement to think about. I think about that song that we sing. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then the refrain of that hymn goes, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Whatever happens when we leave this place, Jesus is still on his throne. He's still in power. Whatever happens in November, our Lord, he's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we faithfully walk in that truth. Don't give in to the temptation of falling back into past behaviors or allow fear and panic and trepidation to overthrow your faith. We serve the rock, Jesus Christ, who has never changed. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. Things are always going to change here, whether or not you like it. From the simple iOS updates that you're going to get on your phone, music is going to change, culture is going to change around us, either for the better or for the worse. We're going to change. We get older. Our life experiences change us. You know, I'm a different person today than I was yesterday, ultimately. But not so with Jesus. He's just the same today as he was yesterday. And when he comes back, he's going to be the same. And when we're in heaven glorifying his name, he's going to be the same. What a wonderful God we serve. I want to publish an open door to the church this morning. If you believe in the unchangeable Christ, I encourage you to take up your cross and follow after him in baptism. I am looking to see, I don't know if that song is in here.